Welcome to the APC podcast, part of AcmePackingCompany.com, SB Nation's Packers fan site. I'm Alex Patakis with Ben Foldy and Zach Rapport. What's up, guys?
Hello.
Still sweating from my train ride this morning.
It was gross.
This morning.
It was really gross.
It's just gross in general. This summer sucks. Can we just go on the record? This is like the worst summer in recent memory.
It was 99% humidity, according to the weather report.
It was really
Jesus.
Gross.
Yeah, that's brutal.
It was like really
but
gross.
I was lugging around the suitcase full of gear, so I was especially tired and hot and sweaty when I got on the train. It was actually pretty embarrassing. It's the kind of sweating where like you can feel the sweat being pushed out of your face.
Yeah, that's
and
pretty
I was,
terrible.
You know, I was in a public place on display. It's not a good look.
I always feel for the guys who have to wear suits. You don't have to wear a suit, right? You don't have to like wear
a jacket
I wear
or anything
this. Like that. Just sweating through suits. Could you imagine that every day?
I did it in Washington, D.C. as an intern in the Senate. It was awful. Because that's not a very like well-ventilated building either, because it was built in like 18 whenever.
Looking like Ray Lewis over there with the sweat coming through the suit.
Oh, God.
Let's not even talk about that.
Yeah, I'd rather not.
What shall we talk about?
I think we should talk about some Packers stuff.
Hey.
You could talk about the Packers with us on Twitter at Zach Rapport, at Ben Foldy, at Alex Patakis, but also the show at the APC Pod, and you can email us at theapcpodcast@gmail.com. If you're listening to this and you haven't subscribed to the show, I recommend you do so. Also, you can leave a nice review. We would appreciate that, especially as the thirst for Packers content continues. More visibility is always a good thing. On today's show, we're going to talk a lot about the quarterback, which I think is going to be really fun because he's my favorite thing about sports. And he said some more notable stuff after his piss poor comment that you discussed last week with Tex Western, who was sitting in for us, our corporate overlord. But he said some stuff off of that, so we're going to get into that. But first, some nuggets. Why don't we start with some of these? And we'll start with something that I think was pretty surprising, and that was Vegas, the odds makers, having the Packers as the favorite as far as where Khalil Mack will be playing his 2018 football.
That was
shocked?
Cool.
I mean, I was pretty shocked.
I was shocked that the Packers are the odds on faves, but I also think what got lost in that is that the field is also 4-1 odds. But I am shocked that they're favored over the Raiders.
How good are our friends in the desert at predicting this kind of stuff?
I was going to say, like, I mean, obviously they're spot on with games and everything like that. I don't know. I was kind of hoping Ben may know in terms of like transactional things.
I
think the Lakers were the favorite for a really long time with LeBron.
Yeah, I don't think the bookies are out there to like lose money.
Right.
But, I mean, there is a part of me too that wonders if I were a book and I were looking at like thirsty Packers fans, I'd be like, there's a chance to make a buck.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point.
Like,
I think the natural, obviously, like the whole Raiders Packers connection with Reggie McKenzie and everything, there's a lot of crossover. Jordy Nelson is there. They take a lot of former Packer guys, as the Browns now obviously do, which I saw a bunch of them on Hard Knocks, a show that was like, nah, I could do with or without. But I guess the conversation, which I think you guys talked about this last week too, is like, is it worth it if you're giving up? I mean, this is a team that has two first round picks. I think that also factors in addition to the connection. I would do it. Obviously, I wouldn't give up two first rounders. I think that's just a price tag that I don't think anyone's going to have to pay.
Yeah.
But if Gruden's going to like try to ruin Raiders football before they make their big move to Vegas, I'll gladly be like the beneficiary of him getting rid of maybe his best player.
I mean, I don't see a downside, but the thing that kind of gives me pause is like it makes too much sense, which makes me think it's something that can't happen in the NFL.
Right.
Like trades only happen when they don't really make that much sense. And somebody, you know, like Jay Ajayi gets traded for a song or Corey Coleman for a late set. You know, it's impossible for me to imagine that a team that has a you know, position of need, a fair amount of capital to go out and make a trade, we'll just be able to make a trade for one of the best players in the game. Like, that just doesn't sound like the NFL to me. And I know trades are getting more prevalent, but it still doesn't sound like the NFL. That
Ben,
I know.
I've known you for a long time, and I feel like that is you summed up in a take. This makes so much sense. There's no way it's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at least as far as the NFL is concerned, I feel like that's, you know, kind of a no-brainer. It's like, oh, yeah, wait, of course Terrell Owens should be in the Hall of Fame. Oh, nope, we're going to do some dumb shit for 2 years. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's the NFL.
New regime, though. Packers.
They have, for the Packers, but
they did some stuff that made sense this offseason.
Yeah.
So you never know.
Maybe
the Gutekunst era will make sense.
I'm not even sure it's up to the Packers, right? Like, I mean, signing Eric Reed would make sense for the Packers, and I don't think they're going to do that.
Yeah. That I agree with.
You know, it's the NFL.
That's true. I think Mack is like a totally different category than Eric Reed. I mean, Mack is like a, you know, change your.
It's not a comparison of Mac.
No,
and
no,
Reed.
I know. I'm just saying, like.
But it is an acknowledgement that things that make sense in the NFL often don't happen because the NFL is busy tripping over its own dick.
Yeah, its own dick. NFL's got a big dick.
Or
all
very
right.
short legs.
Very true. All right, moving on to another nugget before we get into talk about the QB. Brian Gutekunst has confirmed that fifth round pick, offensive lineman Cole Madison, is still dealing with a personal issue. He did not rule out him joining the team at some point, but they're also pretty supportive of whatever he is going through and are going to be patient as he kind of deals with this. There's some speculation out there. I got to be honest, I wasn't really aware of a lot of this until very, very recently. So I don't think we want to like sit here and truly guess what's happening, right? Like I'm glad that the Packers are patient with things that don't have to do with football health. That makes me like my team.
Yeah, and considering that the most prominent theory has to do with a friend committing suicide, a friend and teammate committing suicide, and someone, you know, needing time to deal with that, which is understandable. Considering that that is the most prevalent rumor, it just makes it all the more upsetting that there's a large part of Packers Twitter that's just like, waste of a pick. You got a job now. Get in there.
Oh, really?
Yo, well, oh, that, yeah. Oh,
that,
yeah.
On that note,
okay. Well, then that's
if JS comments
point,
was still
yeah,
a thing.
Look, is there really like fifth rounder Cole Madison truthers like out there being like,
this is Packers offseason
no,
Twitter.
It's true,
yes.
It's true, it's
the answer
true.
Is yes.
But I think that said, first off, it's good that he doesn't need to come in immediately. Although, I mean, the tackles didn't look great the other night, but I digress. But I think also you mentioned Hard Knocks. The best moment, bar none, I mean, this is like a horrible, tragic moment, but the best like NFL moment is when Hugh Jackson is sitting there and he's like, I just lost my mom. I just lost my brother in 2 weeks. And this is a cover four. Like he takes like one beat.
I mean, it was such good, like good job by HBO with like the comedic timing to like literally capture that. He's literally like broke the news to some people. They're all like, oh, I'm sorry, man. He's like 2 seconds of silence. Like you said,
immediately jumps into like breaking down.
Is that zone? Yeah, like, no, exactly. Points at the screen. It's like literally that's how much time he took to grieve the loss of his mother and brother in a couple weeks span.
Not TV. It's
so
HBO.
There's a few takeaways from that. One, it's probably the best. I mean, even, you know, there's a bunch of stuff that the NFL in this offseason is kind of brought up, like what else is new, but like Terrell Owens is the same type thing. Like obviously that's sticking in my subconscious in a way I didn't anticipate before I got in front of a microphone.
Wow.
But you know, I mean, Terrell Owens, the way the NFL dealt with Terrell Owens is kind of like a similar thing. Like it's like, oh, what, you have a personality, like fuck that, like,
yeah,
you're not getting into the Hall of Fame for no reason, we're going to punish you. And like Hugh Jackson is like in that world and he's like, oh, I'm supposed to have like emotions? No, I have to coach this football team badly. I mean, it's also right. clear that that scene where he's like, I'm going to override all my coordinators. Sorry, I like the Hard Knocks. But that scene where he's kind of...
I kind of did too. All right, yeah, we will move on. We don't want to break down the Browns too much, although they kind of are the Packers. It's a lot of Packer personnel.
No stripes on the helmet, though.
Roaming around there. I think this just goes to show how, like, please, at some point, can the Packers be on Hard Knocks?
The answer will be never.
I'm so interested in this, and I don't give a crap about this team. And, like, I still remember the whole episode. Like, there's so many memorable moments from that episode. Anyway,
they just have nothing to gain. The brand is already so strong.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Anyway, maybe in a year they don't make the playoffs, which was this year, and whatever else the criteria is for like making the show.
Oh,
you have to finish a
it's
certain
like a
place in the standings.
Almost,
it's, like, it's like now you're eligible, and then I guess they try to pitch it to you. All right, so preseason game number two is coming up. We'll talk about preseason game number one a little bit, although, again, we caution everyone not to, I don't know, go too deep on what you see in preseason games. But let's start with the fact that we will see Aaron Rodgers in preseason game number two. According to Mike McCarthy, that's the plan. And according to Aaron Rodgers, he feels like he is going to play. He said that he sees a lot of value in it. And he was not humble at all when talking about why. He said, I'd like to get some snaps on the field because the new guys need to see the rhythm and the tempo and understand that when I'm out there, everything
out there
is up. Everything that's ever been put in and years of backlog stuff is potentially in play as well. End quote. I love that.
He's not wrong.
He's not wrong.
And that's him talking to the new people, right? Like, that's him being
it's continued talking to the new people.
Study your
like,
playbook, kids.
Yeah, oh, by the way, this wasn't in the game plan. We ran this in 2011, but guess what? You're obligated to know it because my computer-like brain just spit out how this is something that we should do right now, and you better be on the same damn page.
Yeah, but it's going to pay off. You know why? Because you remember 3 years ago when Devontae Adams was a rookie? And they were playing Miami,
mm-hmm.
and there was a fake spike at the end of the game that Devontae Adams like brought down to the two.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's that, and that's a rookie. I mean, that was the moment when everybody's like, Devontae Adams is amazing. And then immediately like started being like, Devontae Adams is bullshit. Cut this guy.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's because Aaron Rodgers takes a couple snaps in preseason.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm saying that apropos of nothing, but I do kind of like understand what he's saying. I don't think he's just bragging.
No, I don't think he's just bragging either. I think he's 100% right. It's a totally different, like, it can be the same playbook. It can be the same scheme. It's different when he's out there.
Yeah.
I think there's a different level of awareness needed from the receivers. And I think he's 100% right to say that. So I think I've said forever, I don't care if Aaron Rodgers doesn't like even put on a uniform in the preseason. But now I'm almost coming around because if he sees value in it, how do I not trust that there is some value in it, especially when he's backing it up? And you have such a young core of receivers behind the three guys who have been there in Cobb, Adams, and Geronimo. I mean, after that, it's pretty much a crapshoot.
And there's apparently been a lot of changes to the playbook, and Joe Philbin's back, and you know, things are different this year. So that makes sense to me.
And he's got at least two new offensive line members. Like, there's plenty of stuff that needs to get kind of worked out.
I think he, off of that too, I think Bakhtiari is trying to play. And I think Rodgers said in some of his comments to the media that he knows I will be out there and I think he wants to be out there protecting me or something like that. I'm paraphrasing, but it was
cuties.
Something very, very similar to that. But off of this young wide receiver conversation, obviously the piss poor thing from last week where Aaron Rodgers called out the effort of some of these guys in practice. He was kind of pressed on it again today, and why don't we listen to what he had to say as he continues to be asked about that pointed criticism to his wideouts.
Well, I hope we're not that soft. I hope we can, you know, hear comments or read comments and not get offended by things. This is a professional environment. It's not a personal environment. The things I'm saying, I don't have some vendetta against any player. I care about winning, number one. And I'm going to say and do the things that I feel like can advance us. It's going to be tough at some points. It's not a popularity contest all the time. You know, obviously, you know, as a human, you like being liked and appreciated. But I'm trying to win games because that's my job. You know, I'm not, you know, asked or needed to make personnel decisions, coaching decisions, schedule decisions. My job is to play quarterback.
Ben Foley giving a look.
I'm just kind of amazed at how like he sort of adapts the mannerisms of like you can almost hear him like slightly slurring his words as if he is almost Mike McCarthy in that moment. Like he's like slowly taking on the qualities of his coaches, which I think is just humorous.
So what did you think of what he said? I mean, I think first off, he's probably needs to get out in front of this because I don't know if you saw the clips from First Take. Who are like, oh, who was he talking about? And who's now talking about Rodgers behind his back complaining about being called out like that? Like, that's all made up BS.
Martellus Bennett ran his mouth again.
Yeah, maybe. Well,
No, he did. He said some dumb shit.
Oh, he did.
Tom Brady's way easier to play with. Blah, blah, blah.
Oh, my God.
I wish Martellus
I don't want
Bennett
the
let's
show
not,
to
no.
shut
up.
It
We're
has
gonna
something
to
do with
right
Marty.
There.
It has something to, okay.
It's not even that bad. It's kind of clickbaity. Well, let's not even go there.
Yeah, all right.
Okay. So, anyway. Fair, not personal. I have no problem with him saying what he said to begin with. There's always a reason. I think the response from the guys in the preseason game was clearly what he was going for, even though he wasn't out there.
We didn't hear. I clipped the question from Bill Huber was the one who asked that question, but you can tell at the beginning of that clip, Rodgers he's bristling a little bit, and he doesn't like where the question is coming from. Because the question was coming from a place of trying to put intentionality onto words that Aaron Rodgers said. And he's someone who lives a third of his life in front of a microphone. And so, he's going to split hairs if you come at him saying, well, you know, you said blah, 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 you know. So from the tone perspective, I feel like I kind of have his back.
No, I mean, I just don't even see anything to object to in that.
I think what some people came away with from that clip today was that he was backpedaling on the original comments, and that the original comments were not direct. Like, the original comments were clearly directed at the wide receivers, and now he's backpedaling, which is not exactly what I took
from that at all. Offseason is so boring in that way.
It's pretty tedious.
Packers Kremlinology of like, oh, was he wearing the hat on the left side or the right side?
Rodgers joked about being
John Ryan.
About being like older and crankier. I feel like he's been this way the whole time, because isn't the whole riff with him and Greg Jennings start with him not like backing Jennings in a meeting and basically like, or so did it start with something like that? Or was it, maybe that was Donald Driver, one of them, where like they did something wrong and like Aaron Rodgers basically was like, that was on you. You did the wrong, like in front of like the whole offense.
No, that was part of a Driver anecdote.
I don't even see him being like, relative to other NFL quarterbacks, I've never seen him blow up on the sidelines or like publicly humiliate anybody.
No. If we really want to get like,
yeah, Corey Linsley, his first game at Seattle, rookie year, that was pretty tough.
He yelled at him.
Yeah,
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, it was like a false start from the center, and
what,
he like,
I mean, but
reamed
him. Like a false start. What? But like,
can I offer kind of a crackpot theory as to something that makes a lot of people not like Aaron Rodgers?
He's smarter than they are.
Well, that, but he has a strained relationship with his family.
That's
and
true.
That really alienates people, and people don't like
you
that.
You really think that that comes into play, though, when people are like looking at these comments and building opinions off of it?
Absolutely.
Well, I think people think that, like, oh, if his family doesn't like him, he must really be an asshole.
Right.
Because, like, my family tolerates me, and I'm an asshole.
And because all families are wonderful. Yeah. Like, it's a total mindfuck.
It is. There is, like, some slight toxic garbage cloud that follows him around because of that.
So anyway, the receivers did respond. Also, Valdez Scantling said, when the leader says you've got to pick it up, that's what you do. He's one of the greatest to ever do it. So whatever he says, we have to go out and do it. And oh, by the way, he responded himself with 5 catches for 101 yards and a touchdown. Don't forget there was the great Jake Kumerow touchdown, which Rodgers got really excited about.
Should we rank our picks for the last wide receiver spots?
I think maybe briefly discussing. I think it's still kind of early. It's very crowded. There's going to be some tough cuts.
Why don't we pivot first and from this to talking about the Justice Mosqueda piece.
Yeah. Who's supposed to join us next week, right?
Yes.
All right.
And then we get
pivot granted.
And then from there we'll get into wide receivers.
I see what you're doing.
Okay, fine. Yes. Justice Mosqueda, Optimum Scouting is where he wrote this, and he wrote about basically Aaron Rodgers being the best quarterback in football by like a long shot inside the 10-yard line going in. However, there's a significant drop off everywhere else on the field, and using some numbers, he draws the conclusion that basically Rodgers' skill is what propels him to be so great inside the 10, but the lack of skill around him is why he's only kind of regular everywhere else. Did I sum that up right?
I mean, I
feel like if I start to try to describe how some of these numbers are calculated, it'd be very, very difficult. And like maybe not great radio, as they say, although we're on a podcast.
Numbers on the radio, and they don't do well.
That never really is. But basically, the numbers he's using is yards per dropback, like with touchdowns and interceptions, like factored in. And we know that Rodgers doesn't throw red zone interceptions, so that obviously helps. He throws a ton of touchdowns. And then there's also like these highlight videos, which Zach, you mentioned, is really funny because he compares one with Philip Rivers, and the Rodgers one is like, what did you?
It's was like 7 minutes long.
Yeah, of just him throwing TDs inside the 10-yard line.
Yeah, and the Philip Rivers one's like 2 minutes long. And a lot of that has to do with the length of the play, which is the length of each play, which is part of the point that Justice is making.
Yeah. Well, and also, like, I think, I mean, stating the obvious here, but the reason I think it's fair to say that, like, inside the 10, a lot of it has to do with Rodgers outside of just, like, when you're watching it, the things he's doing and creating outside of the pocket. You know, the whole thing is that windows are tighter and that, basically, the back of the end zone is an extra defender, and Rodgers thrives in that scenario where defenses usually come out on top in terms of like the passing game. So, yeah, I mean, does that make you feel like, as you read this and you kind of look over the numbers and see how average he is everywhere else? But the other thing about it that I think is about like why he hasn't had that talent around him is like him outside of the 10-yard line, where he's only been average recently. If you go back to 2011, when they had like all that talent around him, that was like undeniable how much depth they had. He was again at like the top of the league.
Right.
So he went from top of the league to kind of just meh, even though
we're talking he's still like Greg Jennings,
so he was
Jermichael
most valuable
Finley.
Up till 2014. I don't know what the data set that he was sampling from, but I mean, 2008 to 2014,
Yeah.
2008 is, I guess, the first year he was a starter when I think about it. And then since 2014,
yeah,
he's been down significantly outside the red zones.
Yeah, which is basically where he says, like, the Packers become dependent on guys winning one-on-one, and they have one guy proven, I guess, that you feel really good about. Cobb still has, like, to prove he can do it again, but Davante Adams is kind of that one guy.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, about inside the 10 is, like, you watch those highlights, a lot of them end with the ball in 87's hands.
Yep.
And that's not there anymore either. Yep. So do you grow concerned at all about, I know we talked like 2 weeks ago when we did a show about depth and targets and the options that they have, but
for
what do
now
you make
I'm
of it?
Not. I'm not concerned because you just swap in Jimmy Graham and he's just as deadly in the red zone. But, you know, what we're really talking about is the rest of the field where Jimmy Graham is a little bit more deficient, which Justice also points out in this article.
Right.
I'm not concerned because I think that, for one, even an Aaron Rodgers that is 2015 to 2017 Aaron Rodgers gets to an NFC championship game, like, Rodgers will win with what he has. I'm not that worried about that part. I also think that the Packers, if you look at some of the names on this list, a lot of these guys have a multidimensional, either they can run or their running backs can catch. And
yeah.
And that'll give them, like, some of these guys don't throw that far downfield. Alex Smith, I'm looking at, is in the fifth spot. I do think that the Packers run game over the last year took a lot of strides in kind of becoming a more modern NFL run game and using passes out of the backfield and, you know, even motioning the running back as to, into the wide receiver, into the slot. I am both not worried about Rodgers, but I'm also not that worried about the offense and the way that it is moving.
Yeah, I was going to say too, and I was kind of going to go off of what you said there, and my answer would be, okay, that's fine. If they have a good running game that can get us down there, I'm also not that worried. So maybe that will be back, because it would be really cool if they were like a decent running team again. And then again, mixed in a lot their depth at running back, which they have a lot of, especially when Aaron Jones comes back. To also supplement in the intermediate passing game, because like you said, you look at some of these names on that list, Tom Brady is going to kill you 8 yards at a time, 5 yards at a time. That's like what he's famous for. Drew Brees has also transitioned into that. Alvin Kamara is a big part of that. These are all guys who are like methodical. Like you said, I mean, seeing Alex Smith on there is like kind of like insane.
I mean, Alex Smith is a good quarterback.
No, but he's allergic to throwing downfield.
Yeah, and he's
like,
not,
you can be efficient. The point is, like, most of these guys are at the top of this list aren't necessarily guys you think who are going to, like, kill you with the deep ball.
And
Packers don't need to be that either.
And I think that actually, I mean, I think that makes Justice's best point, which is that it's really looking at Rodgers in isolation is really a way to look at receiver depth and talent rather than you're not looking at Rodgers. And
yeah.
I'm glad he makes that point.
And we'll talk to him more about it next week. He's scheduled to be the guest on the podcast. We always like having him on before the season. He sees a lot of stuff that we don't see in a lot of this film, this preseason film, that, you know, good luck trying to draw conclusions off of that. It's one thing to watch all these highlight films, but, you know, I think he'll have a pretty good read on who should make the roster as well, which is really good. So we'll talk to him about this piece and more. Okay, moving on. And we're talking about the receivers. There's three locks, right? In Devontae, Randall Cobb, and Allison. There's going to be probably maybe three more receivers who make the team if you're playing the numbers game behind that. Do you have favorites? You referenced this before. Let's get to it. Or who do we think is going to get cut?
Quick editor's note, I realized I accidentally deleted the J in Jamon Moore's name, so it just says Mon Moore. Sorry about that.
No, it's all good. You know, I was going to add it.
I knew, yeah.
I wasn't, that one I knew. Madison I may have learned of a few days ago, but Jamon Moore, I'm well aware of.
So for me, I think I go basically in the backwards of the 2018 draft order. So Equanimeous St. Brown first, Marquez Valdes-Scantling second, Jamon Moore third, and then I go Trevor Davis, D'Angelo Yancey. I think Trevor Davis might make the team just because I don't see who else fields punts, because it's certainly obvious that Quentin Rollins is not going to be fielding the punts.
Ooh. How long is he going to be? Sorry to kind of sidetrack us again, but I know this has been big in this Slack chat too, right? A discussion of like, they're trying to find anywhere to play him, literally linebacker, safety, slot corner, like punt return is...
I mean,
is there just not a fit for him on your team?
Been around a long time, And Dmitri Goodson hasn't shown anything on the football field either. So
yeah, well, that's true. He probably hasn't been given as many opportunities.
That's true.
So like Rollins is getting the opportunities and then failing like miserably yep. when given those opportunities, which is almost worse than kind of just skating by.
I mean, this is one point where I am upset that they didn't take some sort of return specialist, because I do not want to carry Trevor Davis on the 53.
I think minute. It would kind of suck to have him on the. I mean, he's missed right now. He's out, right? So he's yeah. missing a lot of valuable reps. There's like healthy competition in the receivers room. A lot of them who flashed, you know, in the preseason game. Oh, by the way, do we think that Kumerow's a lock?
No.
Like, are we?
No,
we
I don't think so. I don't think he makes the team.
Really?
No.
Even with all the plays he's making in practice, with like. Nope. Almost like overwhelming endorsement from Rodgers and like showing up on game day.
If they keep seven and if he can return punts, I mean, if he can return punts, I'm in. But
they haven't, from what I read, they have not tried him at all back there.
Yeah.
But, they haven't even like given him a
shot
in
practice. My real argument against holding on to Kumerow is he's 26 years old and Equanimeous St. Brown is 21. Like
right.
if it comes down to cutting, you know, youth with an athletic profile versus a 26-year-old, well, I'm going to always, my axe will always fall on the 26-year-old.
My argument against keeping Kumerow is that he has gone through the waiver wire a number of times. Every team in the league has had many opportunities to get this guy on their team, and they haven't. So they can put him on the practice squad. He has one more year of eligibility.
Okay.
So
you think probably six make it, one practice squad, and then the rest are probably gone. Or I guess they could practice squad two receivers, depending on how it all.
I almost think even if the Packers do really like Kumerow a lot, they might just cut him and put him on the practice squad because they know they can.
Right.
To make room for, you know, maybe another someone who has.
I don't think any
draft
of the guys
capital
they drafted this year get cut. I just don't see it.
Yeah. Worst case, they'll be put on the practice squad unless someone else signs them off of the practice
squad. And I don't see any reason to cut any of them. Like, I think Jamon Moore is the one I'm least confident in.
Yeah, he had some missed opportunities. You kind of felt bad for him because, like, everyone else was shining and he had two balls that he
probably
should have caught.
I've been Equanimeous St. Brown's, like, biggest fan since the day they drafted him.
And yeah, you've been caping for that guy.
I'm not getting off that horse. And I think Marquez Valdes-Scantling has done everything he could to make the team. And, you know, he's got the physical tools and the physical profile and keep him.
Yeah. Okay. Surprised. You guys think there's still a lot to prove for Kumerow?
It's not that. I just don't see any, like,
value in having him. I mean, if he's really just going to keep.
I
think we need all four
field,
preseason games.
Like, if he's not going to see the field, like, what's that value?
I think that there is value in having. Let me restate my point. I think that there is value in having him on the team. I think that the way they get him in the building and keep him in the building is on the practice squad, because they know that if they release other guys who they have spent draft picks on, someone else is going to claim those guys.
Yeah.
Because they were worth a draft pick, so hey, right. maybe they're worth a look.
Sure.
And I mean, Kumerow's been through that list multiple times.
He may well get picked up on waivers by some other team.
Maybe.
And he'll still be a 5-6 guy. Like, I mean, I know that Packers fans want somebody to get excited about.
Well, they need a 4 guy. Like, they need someone to like come up and take that spot, you know? So
yeah,
that's,
but
like,
I mean,
that's wide open.
Like, I just think that, I know I've like beaten this horse a lot. Tyrell Williams came in when Keenan Allen went down, put up a 1,000-yard season in his rookie year, maybe his second year.
Did you have him in fantasy? No one's
Tyrell.
Ever like, yeah, like
I definitely had Tyrell.
It's such an obscure name to continue
season.
To bring
he's
up.
He's not obscure though. If you watch,
is it because was it the draft profile that was the same, or what was it?
No, like, when I watched Equanimeous St. Brown and I looked at his reception perception and it was like all slants, and then I looked at his body type and his measurables, I was like, oh, okay, this is basically Tyrell Williams. He's gonna make all of his money on slants. He's like a giant slot corner or slot receiver, and if they use him the way that the Chargers use Tyrell Williams, he'll be great. And
I'd be fine with Tyrell Williams as my fourth receiver.
That's 100%. I would be fine with Tyrell Williams as my second receiver.
Yeah.
Tyrell Williams is great. Go watch some Tyrell Williams, my friend.
No, I'm saying I would rather Randall Cobb just like be good again.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't.
Then settle for a couple slants from Tyrell Williams.
But I mean, the other thing, and I know I harp on this a lot too, but I mean, age is so important. And like everybody's over here, like creaming their jeans over, what's his face?
What Kenny is his Clark. Face? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and they're like, oh my God, he's only 21 years old.
That's just you. You're just doing an impression
of
yourself.
He's 22, I guess. Or he's going to be 22. And you watch the preseason. They talk to him in the preseason.
It's true.
And the announcer's like, and he's only, you know, he's entering his third season and he's, you know, going to dominate the NFL and he's only 21 and 22. And
I mean, look, the same way you can't take anything from like game film in the preseason, you can't take anything from these commentators. Yeah, that's a good point.
No, but I think it is important.
This is the C team. They've got three facts for every player and they get to them right away and they're all non sequiturs.
No, but age is huge. I mean, age is huge, even if it's just a year less of getting your body beaten to death in college, you know, like.
Yeah, it's big. I guess my only counter would be like, do I care if these guys are like, oh man, imagine he's like 5 years away from his prime, because when he enters his prime, Aaron Rodgers won't be. And like, we could not matter for like a decade after Aaron Rodgers. Like, I'd rather like have guys in their prime now. So if like the argument against Kumerow, not that I'm like caping for him, because again, I think you have to see a lot more, is that he's 26. But like, okay, if he has 3 good years of football from 26 to 29 as he's like exiting his prime, which is not like, you know, his prime is still just like whatever. I'd rather have that than some guy who's like 3 years away.
I think I agree.
I'm just
with
running
you.
Out of patience. Like, and I think Rodgers probably is too. And which is why he sounds cranky, kind of like a grumpy old man.
He sounds like he's got fire in his eyes. I mean, this year,
another team that I pissed. Could see taking Kumerow, and this is like a kind of a joke, is the Patriots. Like, if he does go on waivers,
keeps catching touchdowns in preseason games, and he gets practice squad, the Patriots are going to sign him. The Patriots are going to cut. Like, I don't even know what
Kenny
receivers
Britt?
They have left. Yeah.
Philip Brissett.
They're going to cut basically any black receiver, and they're going to sign Kumerow. That's how that's going to work.
Eric Decker.
Yeah, Bill Belichick philosophy.
You're giving Eric Decker a call, so.
Yeah.
I mean.
Didn't they sign him? I think they ended up signing him. Yeah, yeah, they worked him out, and
barf.
Then I think they brought him in. All
right, the Acme Kumerow podcast.
Hey, man, it's the preseason. Like,
and you know what? We got to give Packers Nation what they want, and the Packers Nation wants Kumerow.
Oh, yeah. But so does Aaron Rodgers. You know, it's not just that, like.
I mean, maybe Aaron Rodgers is just, like, you know, pumping his tires so that he can catch on somewhere else. Like, I don't know. There's like multiple.
You think Rodgers is trying to increase his value so he could go play
no,
for like
but he's
the Vikings?
Like, he's trying to be like, oh, I like this guy. You know, like he's
likes
he's
him as a guy,
raising his profile. You know, he's doing him a solid.
There's got to be an element of trust there that doesn't exist with the other guys, because Rodgers is a hard guy to win over, and this guy has clearly done it.
Because he's been in the NFL for 2 years. Like,
This is why I want Hard Knocks in Green Bay time.
What's going on in that
locker
room?
What the hell is going on in the meeting rooms that we're raving about this guy?
Is Kumerow really into like Sheep's Head and Rodgers wants to bring that back or what?
It can't just be the flowing locks, right?
He's the best seller as a Catan player.
All right. It's a podcast, probably.
I think so.
We'll look forward to seeing maybe a series or two from Aaron Rodgers. And then more. We didn't talk about the other quarterbacks who looked pretty good.
They all looked fine. That's the problem.
Yeah. I know. That's another log jam.
I mean,
that's
the way I feel about the receivers. I'm like, they all looked fine. I'm okay with all of them.
Well, why don't we do a quick 1, 2, 3 of things we're looking for in this game against the Steelers. I'm looking for one of the quarterbacks to differentiate themselves, because they all looked fine, like you said.
Reggie Gilbert, I want to see good things. Vince Beagle.
Yeah. I want to see a little more Josh Jackson. I like how much he was getting tested, and it got me a little excited.
I didn't get to see that part of the game.
Yeah, you missed this.
And I want to see Equanimeous St. Brown. Yeah. He's my boy.
I also want to add more Oren Burks.
Yeah.
Yes.
Flies to the football. Like what I see so far.
I mean, hopefully we can see a real running back, too.
Yes. Yeah. That would be good.
Nah, save it for the regular season.
The Pick'em League is back, right? I think you've been fielding some entries and things like that. Where do people go if they want to enter our Pick'em League?
Follow us on Twitter if you don't already, @theAPCpod, and we'll follow you back. We'll send some DMs. We'll get your email address, and we'll get you enrolled. And if you have signed up and you haven't received any kind of like introductory email address, that's because I haven't sent them yet. So be patient. Give us about a week or so.
Yeah.
And we'll get that started.
We're still early in the preseason. Yeah. Plenty of time. Plenty of time before that opening game. All right. That'll do it for us. Again, @BenFoldy, @AlexPatakis, @ZachRapport. Zach just told you where to find the show on Twitter, which is very useful for all updates and also Pick'em things and other things that we'll be doing throughout the course of the season. TheAPCPodcast@gmail.com. That's the show. Thanks for listening.